today with honesty about the resurrection. I wish you could see your faces from up here. Honesty? Really? At a time when we celebrate the mystery of the resurrection, we're going to go there? Yes, I think we have to. We have to start with the simple question, why are we here? Or even more personally, why are you here? I understand that we have visitors today who have come with friends and relatives, some with faith that has sustained some kind of a trauma, and others who simply did not want to hurt another's feelings. You are all welcome here. We love to open our doors to anyone who will cross that threshold. But for those of us who frequent churches, either this one or your home church, the question remains, what is the reason? Is it duty? Is it that you want to hear the stories of old told again? Or is it something different? Are you afraid that if you don't come to church on Easter that God will make something bad happen in your life? I, as a priest, encourage questions like this because I think that 21st century people can possess a certain mindset, a mindset that is a spiritual killer, and that is the mindset of the multitasker. The multitasker is a highly prized person in every other area of life except, if you'll pardon me, the most important one, and that is the spiritual life. How often can we catch ourselves multitasking right through a worship service, having never encountered the risen Lord or never given thanks to the one who has saved us from death and sin? It is something of which to be aware. The next question, the next honest question, is the most asked, and that is, can I actually put my faith in the resurrection of Christ Jesus? Those of you who were here last year remember that we spoke of Easter as being the most adult of the high feast days of the church, because it does, in fact, take a certain leap of faith to read our gospel lesson just heard as history, as the whole of Christendom has done for almost 2,000 years, and even as I have done for almost 40 of those years. So it is strange, in a way, that on the one day that it seems to take the most faith to be a believer in the risen Lord, to be able to say the ancient formula of belief like the Nicene Creed, it is strange that this is one of the strongest days of gathering in the church. Or maybe not so strange after all. As one spends time in the scriptures, it becomes so much more evident that the followers of Jesus had a more deep and abiding experience of him well after the tomb was found empty than they did upon learning that Jesus had risen. Imagine that. And this is where the honest questions, I believe, begin to be resolved. With any strong faith community, and it has to be strong, with any strong faith community, it is evident that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is acting and moving and encouraging us to make the nearness of the kingdom of God more evident to those who cannot see it or hear of it in their own lives. No one can be part of a strong church and not believe in miracles. People are changed if they desire it. Where once a person finds his or her way in the door, now there is a motivating force for the kingdom of God in the community. Where once families were broken, now there is peace as the eyes and interests are turned from hurts and are secured, fastened securely on the Lord and Savior of the world, Jesus of Nazareth. It happens all the time. Many say that miracles cannot and do not occur, but I beg to differ. As a priest and pastor, I can tell you that people change as a result of growing their faith in the risen Jesus. You know, my longest prayer as a priest has been that a congregation could see themselves from my vantage point, to see and understand that Jesus is in fact alive and well and is still active in the lives of His people who will have Him alive and active in His many houses of prayer all around the world. But what about this Easter event? The very reason we are gathered here today. What about applying honesty to that bit of history also? Here's what I can say to you regarding that important question. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead after 3 days. I can say that without batting an eye, without crossing my fingers, without a hint of uncertainty in my soul. And here is why. The resurrection accounts touch the deepest portions of our very soul, the place where it is still possible, in fact, still likely, that the oil of faith and the water of doubt still come together and rub together, each trying to overcome the natural properties of the other. This is the container of the soul. This is where the gospel accounts touch us the most. One writer commented that the resurrection gave us such a miracle of love and forgiveness that it is by itself worthy of faith. But because of that very fact, it is also open to doubt. The very doubts that we may hold, the test to the scale and power of what Christians proclaim the world over. So oddly enough, maybe the place to begin asking some hard questions about life, about faith, or even restart a stalled life of prayer is in those very things where belief is challenged. And doubt is very possible. Realities about which we hold, no doubt, may be too large to reveal God to us. We may say without apology or hesitation, what we proclaim at Easter is too mighty to have mere human understanding encircle all of it. Too deep to allot the few minutes of consideration before discarding it for the TV remote. Mature Christians are not strangers to doubt and its many manifestations, but I think what we come to is that our walk with the risen Lord moves us towards the divine. We begin to see with spiritual eyes those things that are finite and often easily fooled senses have labeled as impossible or doubtful. So maybe, just maybe, it turns out that Easter, the most adult of all high feast days in the church, is the best place for a new beginning. Maybe the simple admission that we are in fact finite and the one true living God that made everything that we all have seen through the pictures through the Hubble Space Telescope. Maybe that admission is the most humble place to start for a true seeker of real wisdom and truth from the Creator of the universe. If you have questions, my friends, come and have a conversation with me. I'll tell you how to start your journey. And there's many ways to start. All it takes is simple desire to know the risen Lord. And so now, at the risk of providing too much information, the tools of the journeyman seeker are constant forgiveness, both giving and receiving, a longing to develop a deep and abiding life of prayer, the study of the Word, a desire to be patient, no multitasking here, a willingness to be in and be guided by a faith community. There are no Lone Ranger Christians, although many try to do it alone. And a heart that must be willed open. Now, this should be no surprise. I can feel some of us recoiling. Oh, it's too hard. It's too much. But this is no surprise. Are these not the very same implements that we have used in any worthy endeavor that we have willingly sought after? I argue that. All deep answers have been won through repeated interaction, constant seeking, and even intermittent tears of wonder and quest and prayer. And yet, even after all of those words, it is in fact easy to have an encounter with the risen Lord. And I invite you to begin your journey fresh, fresh today. He is waiting with open arms for each of us to spend time with Him, to get to know Him. May God's life be in you through the risen Lord Jesus, and may His peace be upon you.